outshine your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can't use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Da Truce! The only liquor so good they seem to color after.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
Well, Dana. We started our Labor Day movie marathon.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'll be honest, the first two Steve was watching, I didn't pay much attention to.
Well, we'll talk about this one first since you watched it. It was The Invitation from 1984.
Initiation.
The Initiation from 1984.
With Vera Miles and Clu Gulager and Daphne Zuniga.
Yeah. I'd seen this, but I had already forgotten about it. To me, it's okay, but it ain't nothing special.
I like it because it's one of those typical, college kids doing pranks and getting slashed up in the process. And it's just it's probably one of those go-to movies when you're looking for something that's not gonna you're not gonna have to think.
Dana doesn't like to think. It hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, when I put in a long day at work, it certainly does hurt.
It hurts.
I'd rather watch some mindless entertainment. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I just want to watch something dumb so I can, get lost.
And there were some dumb people on this one. That dorky dude that was running around in his leopard underwear.
So, it's coming out on Blu-ray, but I'm not.
Who's putting it out?
I don't know. Maybe it's either something else.
Lamar, I was like, what?
Fox. Larimar or something like that.
Oh, that Kino Lorber?
Yeah, maybe, or Scream Factory, which is probably Scream Factory.
Well, it'd probably be better Scream Factory.
Maybe, I don't know. But I watched, I've been wanting to see this one independent movie for a long time. It's called Harvest Lake, starring the hot Ellie Church.
In Steve's opinion.
Yeah, I want to go to church, but anyway. It's slightly above average independent movie, which that means it's low. It's only good for a watch, but
it wasn't even good for a watch for me. I saw a few pieces of it.
Well, at the beginning of it, we see this alt couple, which I like because they had tattoos and they were going in the forest. And
you watch a blurry sex scene.
Yeah. Then for some reason there's something dripping and they actually drink whatever's dripping, and
yeah,
it's like
nasty.
Well, I wouldn't be
it's some nasty,
but
putrescent.
Evidently there's something influencing them, but anyway, they go back to the lake and they just kind of submerge and you never see them again. Now these other people come, two girls and two guys, but one of the guys we find out is gay.
And this, I mean, I have nothing against gay people. Your lifestyle is your lifestyle. But this is like, with the exception of Brokeback Mountain, which I don't think Brokeback Mountain, if I remember right, showed that.
It
wasn't graphic, but it showed more as far as a gay sex scene than I've ever seen in just a normal movie.
I don't know about that, but, you know, I was, in Brokeback Mountain, when somebody spit on their hand for lube, that's when I got really uncomfortable.
Is that when you tuned out?
No, that's when I started squirming in my chair, but anyway, they come there and then, slowly but surely some stuff happens, and there's some effects that are pretty good. There's no CGI, which I was very impressed
by. That's a plus. That's all.
And there was some practical stuff that was pretty good. It was kind of gross, but pretty good. So, I mean, like I say, for an independent movie, I mean, it's slightly above average, but, you know, I only good for a watch. I wouldn't purchase it myself, but. And then the other one I watched was another L.E. Church movie, because I was having an L.E. Church kind of night.
Evidently.
It was called Time to Kill, which was more of a grindhouse.
Kinda. I don't know what it was. It looked like some psychedelic drug movie.
Well, I'll be honest, it started off decent enough, but then at the...
But not a good psychedelic
movie. No, I mean, at the end it kind of lost it for me, but... But, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in some degrees, because she goes to the doctor and finds out she's only got 24 hours to live, so... I mean, you missed the Debbie Rochon shows up for a second in that movie.
Was she?
Yeah. I guess it was her sister. It's supposed to be Ellie Church's sister, and, I mean, Debbie Rochon's probably in her 40s, and Ellie Church is in her 20s. So, but anyway, Ellie Church seems okay in this movie. I guess I would think that she's better in the later movie of Harvest Lake, but anyway, I don't know. I just didn't care for Time to Kill. It's an interesting looking movie.
I didn't really get a good look at her what she looked in the later movie, but the one you watched for that, she looked like drugged out white trash.
Well, I mean, Harvest Lake is a 2015 movie, and Time to Kill is a 2014. So that was the later movie. That was an earlier movie, the second one.
Okay.
Well, she had short hair and stuff, but
Steve didn't like that short hair.
No, I liked it either way, but I think the longer hair looked really good on her. But one thing I did watch earlier today was Stage Fright, not the Giallo slasher.
Oh God, you watched that other
movie? Yeah, it was on Netflix. Oh, it was Meatloaf.
I don't know what's happened to Netflix, really.
What? Dang, that's only one movie on Netflix.
Yeah, but for some reason, they can't have the good stuff on there anymore. I guess all the movie studios pulled the good stuff, and now it's all this shit on there.
There's a lot of good stuff, and there's a lot of bad stuff. That's all. Well,
I can't find very much in the horror department. I mean, Stranger Things, an original show, was the exception, but as far as movies that's on there.
Well, the one thing about this movie that's kind of hard to watch is the musical aspect, because they just start singing, and there's no good reason for it.
Does Meatloaf sing in it?
A little bit, yeah. I think he does. But it's a pretty, I mean, I don't know what to say about it other than
Does he sing his greatest hits?
No, there's no fucking him singing, but it's a decent enough slasher type if you cut out all the fucking singing. They'll get off the bus and start singing, and it's like, holy shit.
So it's a musical horror movie?
Yes. Oh. I mean, obviously, takes place and like they're doing some kind of play with music, musical, but they'll sing outside of that in real life and stuff. At least all these kids and stuff. I don't think the main girl actually sung other than in the show, but I don't know what to say other than it's a strange combo of that. But it wasn't. It reminded me a little bit of Sleepaway Camp in small doses, but you know, not as nearly as entertaining.
Can you imagine though if Sleepaway Camp had musical?
He has a penis. Angela has a penis. A penis. Oh
yes,
my!
They'd be like going penis.
Oh my! Oh my!
That would be crazy.
But
well, they did Evil Dead the musical.
Yeah, but
I didn't get to see that. But anyway.
My chainsaw is low on gas, and only have one more shell for my shotgun.
This is Ash's song.
it's the Ash theme. But anyway, other than that, that's about it for the moment. I'm gonna try to do one more before I actually go out to sleep. But it's gonna be a rough.
I don't know. I don't know if Steve's going to make it. Oh, gosh, is this that Wildest Office Party? Is that what we're watching?
I'm going to see whether it is any good or not, because I've never heard of it.
From 1980.
Oh, my God. It looks like a TV show.
It
looks like something from freaking...
It looks like Night Court or something.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to watch this.
I don't think so.
It looks like
comedians.
It looks like USA, a USA pilot from USA Network from like 1993. But anyway, we'll be back after something or other.
Bye.
Woo! Because this Halloween, Toys R Us is your Halloween headquarters. You'll find every trick or treat under the moon. A monstrous selection of costumes and a dungeon full of decorations. At prices so low, you'll howl. So this Halloween, bring the entire family to Toys R Us for a Halloween selection so huge.
Obama was director of photography.
That's right, but he's partially directed this movie as well.
Oh.
And we're talking about The Devil's Commandments, also in Italian, was I, Vampira, from 1956. We watched, I hadn't watched it in a long time. This is like the integrated version, which is a combination of the U.S. and Italian version. It's...
Which somebody kind of just threw together.
But that Richard Freda was supposed to be the director, but I remember seeing something where he...
And
he wasn't there.
The Devil's Commandment.
Yeah. And it looks like it was released in 1960 over here. But anyway, that was
it
one of the...
It took a while for it to get released over here.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't like as fast as it is today sometimes. But we saw... the new movie at the theater today called Don't Breathe.
Yeah, by the makers
Fendi.
Of the Evil Dead remake. How do you pronounce that guy?
I know, I thought it was Freddy, but it's like Fendi Alvarez or something.
Yeah, which I've said before, I'll say it again, I thought the Evil Dead remake was awful. Maybe it wouldn't have been so awful if they hadn't called it Evil Dead, but that's beside the point. This movie was pretty decent. I think because this guy was doing his own thing. He wasn't trying to remake something.
This makes a good kind of side piece to It Follows, because this place takes place in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And like it highlights some of the abandoned neighborhoods. And it's got the same chick from Evil Dead remake.
But I told Steve on the way home that they didn't, there were not really super obnoxious kids in there, and they wasn't real foul mouths and just wanting to have sex. And
well, no.
You know, it was pretty concentrated on this group of three. I guess they were teenagers.
No, they weren't teenagers.
Well, 20-somethings?
Yeah.
All right, 20-somethings.
Like I, just out of high school or maybe a couple years, they were... One kid's father, I guess, was working at this...
For a security
company. Security company, so he had all the information on these houses, so they were using that to break in and steal shit.
But I thought the girl and the guy whose dad was working for the security company were not really bad people. They were just looking for a way to get out of Detroit.
Yeah.
And I think they were just desperate. Or at least the girl was desperate because her mom wasn't in town. And
when they get information that they may be able to get a lot of money out of at this house, and it's a blind guy.
Yeah.
And they think it might be easy. Here's the fucking carpenters.
Hey.
We've only just begun.
I like Karen Carpenter.
She's got a bowl cut.
She had the most beautiful voice I've ever heard. Well, my opinion, but...
I think Brinky here's got a good voice.
I'm talking about human beings, honestly.
But we watched, for the first time, I'd never seen Blue Sunshine, and it was,
I couldn't believe Steve had
because I just, I always thought it was going to be a little bit it was pretty nutty, but I thought for some reason it was like, it's just going to be not making any sense, but I liked it.
It was a Jeff Lieberman.
Right, but movie. I kind of liked it. I think the ending was kind of like whatever with this overlay of text.
That was probably a drive-in type thing.
Yeah.
Made to freak people out a little bit.
I guess. Then. Maybe that's true. But the Blu-ray's is either out or something, and the transfer looks pretty good on it because you can see some of the
appliances.
Yeah, like the... I don't know. I might have talked about this when I saw Joysticks. I know that's out on Blu-ray, I think, or something. 1983, where they're playing video games in the arcade and a lot of boobies and stuff. And it's kind of funny because
were a lot of boobies.
They do a lot of stuff about Pac-Man and stuff, and it's like I can't believe it. You know, the people who made that would have
allowed that
and the director Grey Don Clark, who directed a bunch of stuff like this.
I didn't know that Grey Don Clark did stuff like that.
Well,
for some reason I was thinking he did like horror movies about animal attack things. I must have him confused with somebody else.
You talking about William Gergler?
Maybe.
But we did a commentary for Invisible Maniac, which is horrible.
Steve is sorry that we did it now.
Yeah. I thought for some reason this was some kind of like comedy where the kid turned invisible and went in and looked at boobs and stuff. But this was worse than that.
But I told Steve that it was always in the horror section, so it attempted to be a horror film, but
yeah,
I don't think it worked either way, as a horror film or as a comedy.
No.
I'm not sure why Inner Rossiter is showing.
They show stuff like this on Sundays, which I never watch.
I have that on vinyl.
Great. But I watched some unidentified.
That was hilarious. Yes. Okay.
Watched another unnameable.
Well, we just don't. We don't
something
know.
Something Inferno or something. It was a... what the freak? A Women in Prison movie by Jess Franco. And it had... what's her name?
And you know if Jess Franco did it, it's going to have a lot of naked ladies in it.
And it... this movie was kind of... they recycled...
oh my God, it's Woody Allen.
Yeah, they recycled this movie. in another one as well, but it was, I wouldn't say it's got anything spectacular other than, yeah, there's a lot of nudity. Hey, there's Burt Reynolds.
Okay.
Oh, and then what derailed our evening, I was wanting to get a little wild and do some, watch stuff, and then we ended up watching this documentary called Holy Hell.
About a cult that I had never even heard of.
No.
I didn't even know about it, but it evidently went on for...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a...
20-something years.
It was, it was on CNN recently, and...
And it was shown, this documentary or whatever you want to call it, was shown at Sundance.
So I would say, if you want a decent documentary.
Hey, that was Gene Wilder, Steve.
Yeah, he passed away recently.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah. So, but, after watching that, it was like, well, I don't feel like doing any kind of nut stuff. But we did watch, we just talked about.
Yeah, we talked about them.
And we watched part of a movie that, I wanted to switch and watch the iVampiro, so we're going to watch the rest of I'm Not a Serial Killer, which I think Dana went into it not too enthused, but I think she at least got interested.
It was a little bit more interesting as it went along. I thought it was going to be one of these lousy, stupid teenager type things, but it's not really. And it's got Christopher Lloyd on it, so.
So, yeah, we'll finish that up tomorrow and finish up our Labor Day weekend marathon of movies. So, yeah.
Of course, Dana has to go for a doctor's appointment on Tuesday, which is going to break it up a little bit.
But, yeah, but when that's over with at that point, it's just driving. But we'll be back soon. So,
back again.
Yeah, for the final movie of our Labor Day weekend, we're just kind of a little late talking about it. It was finished up this movie called I Am Not a Serial Killer,
which was not nearly like I thought it was going to be awful.
Well,
it wasn't awful.
When I first started the movie,
it was bizarre, though.
I read some things about it, but when I first started. There's something weird about it that I thought it was like New Zealand or something, but everybody had English accents or, American accents. So it was actually made in Minnesota.
Yeah, and
Minneapolis.
It was cold and snowy.
Yeah. There. And the kid has long stringy hair, which is kind of weird.
It reminds me of Wally Wiggins.
Yeah, skinny Wally Wiggins. But anyway, they had this one kid. He's kind of the main character. He's. Mother is works at a funeral home, and it seems like he's seeing a therapist because basically he's kind of dissociated and he has thoughts of violence and stuff. So he's almost like
thought he was a sociopath.
That's what the psychiatrist said he was, or he showed signs, and he was all into other serial killers and stuff. But some killings start happening here. And his neighbor is Christopher Lloyd from Taxi and Back to the Future, and his old wife. And at one point, he actually sees that Christopher Lloyd is actually the killer. But I won't go any further.
Yeah, because that's really not giving anything away.
No. But, and it's a pretty good movie. I think the winter aspect is something that adds to it. And then also, of course, being up in Minnesota, they're one scene they're doing like ice fishing, which is very strange. I'm pretty sure I didn't see ice fishing in New Zealand, so that kind of let me on. But it's
a different type of movie than I was expecting.
And if someone said it was a U.S.-Irish crab relation, which is kind of weird. There is some CG in it, which wasn't spectacular, but it's not. It's only limited to one scene, but I mean, it's worth a watch. I wouldn't say it's something special or anything like that. So I would, at least give it a watch if you're bored and can't find anything else.
Yeah, because, I told Steve when he started watching it, I thought it was going to be horrible. But I actually kind of got into it as it went along.
Yeah, I mean, it has like some semi-comedy, black comedy stuff going on in it.
Yeah, it's a black comedy.
Yeah, then it kind of those are points a little bit in there, but it's mainly drama, and of course some of the horror aspects. But it's worth a watch. It's interesting and a little bit quirky, so I give that. For that, this is our Labor Day marathon come to an end. Next time we'll be going to Horror Hound, Indianapolis.
And I don't want to jinx it, but I think I'm actually going to get to meet Ted Raimi this time.
So you can stay tuned to hear that he didn't show up. And we'll going to talk about a couple movies. One that's I'm going to be watching here real soon is Neon Demon. It came out a few weeks ago. So, come and listen and all that jazz. We'll be back next time.
We hope somebody's listening.
Yeah. Oh, you there? All right, we're out.
Bye.
Labor Day.
Now, look, you can't look like you're trying to get her out of here before Christian Simonson shows up, but you got to get her out of here before Christian Simonson shows up.
Yeah, but what's the point? They're going to Shanna's daddy's house at Lake LBJ, and it's no guys. Absolutely no guys.
Okay. So after we bring the girls drinks, in fairly rapid order, but not obvious, we order two more rounds of shots.
You think they're going to fall for that?
Will be very convincing. Now it's time to turn up the volume. No more fucking around. We go to Jaeger shots.
Man, they're not going to drink Jaeger shots?
Dude, as long as the guy's buying the booze, a fucking bitch will drink anything.